I'm a person who believes that the Lord is the Lord of order. And so when we have our worship services, they tend to be responsive. We hear from God, we hear from Him in His Word, and we respond to Him in prayer and in praise and thanksgiving, preach the Word and respond communion. But today, what we want to do is we want to not only praise God, but we want to build one another up through songs and hymns and spiritual songs. We want to consider all that the Lord has done in our midst, but mostly, we do not want to waste this event, folks. God has shown mercy on this community, and we need to consider what lessons we have learned, how we've seen God working. We want this to be a time of prayer and a time of celebration. So the service is going to be completely different, and the entire service is being recorded. So normally it's only my sermons. Anybody who's missing this will be able to go online to mayorcommunitychurch.com and hear the whole service. That means as you guys share, I'll be running all around with a mic so that we can make sure that we can get everyone recorded. Just a few announcements before we begin this service. First of all, from the Fernwalds, just a big thank you from Rosalyn and from Don for all the prayers and meals that were brought while she was recovering from surgery. She's doing well, and she's just very grateful for your love and care. Our new in-laws, Keith and Kim Walker, Amy was married on the 24th. It was a beautiful service. We'll tell you all about that later. Friday morning, 2 o'clock, Keith's dad, Caleb's father, so Caleb's grandfather, died just the day before the wedding. He had had an inoperable brain tumor and had been going downhill for some period of time. But the service was in Phoenix on Thursday. There will be one in Pahrump on Saturday. Was one yesterday. And so we just want to be praying for the Walkers, for Keith and Kim, Caleb's parents, for strength and rest. Also want to pray for our brother Chris Shule. Although time difference, he's quite a few hours ahead of us. He has to make a decision today, a major life decision on what he's going to be doing career-wise and schooling, because the Germans don't work quite the way we do. So we just want to keep Chris lifted up, okay? Are there any other announcements that I've forgotten? Then what I want us to do is I want us to greet one another and greet like family who's happy to see one another, okay? So let's say hi to one another. Yeah, this may take a while. Okay, if you don't mind, let's come back. I know this is, appreciate Ron bringing this in. This is probably on everybody's mind. This is an update as of 8 o'clock this morning on the fire. It's 53% contained. They made excellent progress overnight burning at an area northwest corner of Big Bug Mesa, east of Breezy Pines. The burnout operation is expected to be completed today. Then additional fire retardant has been applied on this section of the fire to reinforce the perimeter. Patrolling, mop-up, fire line rehab continues to take place along the 62 miles of the perimeter of the fire. Patrol flights yesterday saw little smoke coming from the southern and eastern portion of the fires, but smoke could be seen burning on the interior islands of vegetation and burnout operation in the northwest, and that's where we were seeing it yesterday. Public is reminded that smoke seen is not a cause of concern at this time. There are some ash devils were noticed yesterday, and firefighters remain vigilant to ensure the embers are not carried across fire lines. The winds are expected to be higher today, so we need to be praying for that. The communities of west side of Poland Junction, Pine Flat, Breezy Pines, Walker, Potato Patch, Mountain Union, and Mountain Pine are still under mandatory evacuation. So thank you, Ron, for that. No, that's why I gave you the ones that are evacuated. Everyone else has gone home. That's right. So thank you for that so much. And then one other announcement that I wanted to make. First of all, could you put that photo up? We were in California at the time that we were looking at the ABC News website. This photograph was taken from our church parking lot. I mean, you can see the wall to the patio here and the house across the street, and you can see what was happening. And, of course, when we went to the meeting at LifePoint Thursday night, the sheriff testified that the firefighters were heroes to save this community. Absolutely. And so we're going to take some time to praise them and thank God for them today. One other announcement, though, another sad one, and that is that most of you all know that today is the last day that our dear sister Kay Green will be with us. Kay has resigned as chair of the deacons and as treasurer and is leaving the church to be with her husband and to worship with him. It's a time when their church has been struggling, and she just feels called the need to be there. We will miss her terribly. We hope, being that you're going to a Church of Christ church, that you still think we're saved here. Okay. Even though we have a piano. Okay. So we'll do our best to keep Trish from playing too often in your absence. But what we wanted to do, Kay, could you just come forward, is we want to thank you. This is for a fire extinguisher? No, this is that's for a gift certificate for shopping and for a meal, and a certificate of appreciation presented July 2nd to Kay Green for 14 years of faithful and dedicated service as treasurer and deacon. We love you.
Thank you. I'm very sad.
Yeah, well, we're expecting it. We're saving two seats for you, one and one for your bags. That's right, for the bag lady. There you go. All right. All right. Everyone's going to need hymnals today because we're not putting up any words. All right. We're going to sing two songs back to back to begin with, but I want you to hear Psalm 138 as our call to worship this morning. Why don't you stand? Why don't we stand? Psalm 138. I give you thanks, O Lord, with my whole heart. Before the gods I sing your praise. I bow down toward your holy temple and give thanks to your name for your steadfast love and your faithfulness, for you have exalted above all things your name and your word. On the day I called, you answered me. My strength of soul you increased. All the kings of the earth shall give you thanks, O Lord, for they have heard the words of your mouth. They shall sing of the ways of the Lord, for great is the glory of the Lord. For though the Lord is high, he regards the lowly, but the haughty he knows from afar. Though I walk in the midst of trouble, you preserve my life. You stretch out your hand against the wrath of my enemies, and your right hand delivers me. The Lord will fulfill his purpose for me. Your steadfast love, O Lord, endures forever. Do not forsake the work of your hands. Father, we know we are here by the protection of your hand. You have saved us. You are our fortress, and we give thanks to you, O God of David. So receive now our praise, for we know where our hope, our only hope, lies. We trust you, we love you, and we praise you. In Jesus' name, amen. We're going to start the first two songs we're going to sing, 381 and 17. So let's start 381, The Solid Rock. Place our trust in. They are so temporary. They fail. They pass. You never do. You are our strength. You are our rock. You are our fortress. We praise you in Jesus' name. Amen. Number 17. Oh, Father, you are sovereign. You may not know this, but you'll know the tune. It goes with all glory, laud, and honor. So that's the tune for this hymn. You. And Father, that is our heart's desire today. That in the midst of what this community and our surrounding communities have faced, that we would trust and worship you, for you have a purpose for your children. Thank you that you have shown mercy to us. Receive our praise this morning, we pray, in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. Give me just a sec to get set up here. And Trish, I'll just have you stay at the piano because I don't know when we'll sing, but we're going to do some more. Okay. Could you turn with me to Psalm 46? Why am I going to spend almost the whole morning with you in the Psalms? What were the Psalms? They were Israel's hymn book. You know, and there's something amazing about music, guys. Every one of you know it. Music helps us remember things that we might not otherwise remember. Music touches us, often emotionally, in ways that mere words cannot. Music lifts us. Music appropriately written with the appropriate tune and key can speak to all the emotions of our heart. The Psalms are spectacular. Read with me Psalm 46. Is someone using the Pew Bible? Can you tell me what page that's on? 471. Thank you. Psalm 46. God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. And therefore we will not fear, though the earth gives way, though the mountains be moved into the heart of the sea, though its waters roar and foam, though the mountains tremble at its swelling. There's a river whose streams make glad the city of God, the holy habitation of the Most High. God is in the midst of her. She shall not be moved. God will help her when morning dawns. The nations rage. The kingdoms totter. He utters his voice and the earth melts. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our fortress. Come, behold the works of the Lord, how he has brought desolations on the earth, how he makes wars cease to the end of the earth. He breaks the bow and shatters the spear and burns the chariots with fire. Be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the nations. I will be exalted in the earth. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our fortress. Cheryl and I were at Redwood Christian Park, a place where we have spent 23 years now in family camp, consecutive years in family camp. When I was sitting about 20 yards from the East Stanley Jones Prayer Chapel under a grove of redwood trees and received a telephone call from the sheriff's department saying that Mayor was under pre-evacuation. It was at that moment that I realized we cannot go on vacation in June anymore because a fire always breaks out. So we'll have to come up with some other plan. At that point, we began to call people back here to find out what was going on. What could we do? How serious was this? Because the last we knew is that the fire was rather localized, and the person from our church that we were most concerned about was the Burris Ranch. And then we found out what happened to the fire overnight. I believe Cheryl was talking with Margie Good, who was watching structures burn, or a structure burn, and hearing the ash fall with such weight that it sounded like rain on their roof. Ann Ballard called me and said, "We need you." And we were already in the process of packing to come back. And so it took us a while. We were a ways away. We drove from near Santa Cruz, about a half an hour out of Santa Cruz, to Barstow in 9 hours. stayed overnight, and then got to Prescott on Wednesday afternoon, went to the shelter, met with people, prayed with people, began to contact and have Ann and the other deacons contact to make sure everyone from the church was safe. That had been going on since Tuesday. Were people getting out? Did we know where everyone was? And so I just want to say that one of the things that I saw was people from our church, Glenn, Joyce, Mike, Ann, helping Sharon Regan, helping us try to do ministry from a distance, in here, stepping in the gap, caring for people. And so I saw God working, and I want to put that in there. Did you guys see God working this week? Anyone want to share?
My friend Lindy and her husband were, I think they were heading down to Phoenix, and they were coming over the overpass at Cordis. The police were there. They had waved them on, and some lady coming from Phoenix did not stop and hit them. And they're okay. Her car's probably going to be, you know, they'll probably say it's total because the whole side front end is bad, but they're okay.
Praise God.
And that's amazing.
Praise God. Yes, you have something you want to share with us? Please tell us your name and then share how you saw God working.
All right, my name's Dylan, and the fire, the Goodwin fire, looked really close, so we got a call for evacuation. Then a few minutes later, we were packing. Then the guy that evacuates came over saying that we had to evacuate. And every night I was praying after we were at the new house and stuff. Every night I was praying, hopefully that nothing burns down there. And I get back 3 days, and I see that my house is not burned down. That means bunny rabbits are safe, chickens are safe, ducks are safe, and dog is safe.
Amen. Amen. Praise God. Thank you, Dylan. Anybody else like to share how you saw God working this week? Yes. I'll come back. Let me come over here. Get a few on this side.
It was very interesting to see all of the help that came from so many different areas. And there were equestrians, a club down in Phoenix, where the people there volunteered their time, their vehicles, and their trailers. And I witnessed, as I was packing for evacuation, the constant stream of trucks and trailers taking everyone's loved animals out of our area. And I just want to give a big thank you to all those people who did that for us.
Amen. Amen. Praise God. Do it.
There's some unsung, the firefighters especially, what they did for us. But we have to also thank APS. They were out there constantly, worked with them a little bit. They were shutting down lines, making sure that the lines were on so people could return home. And then for the water company here, we have two people, a Kathy King and a Frank Soto, that just worked constantly to make sure that when you got home, you did have water.
Praise God.
So, just a wonderful thing.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Barb, did you want to say something? Hang on.
I was out in the middle of the desert during all the havoc, and I didn't even hear the fire because they don't have no television or radio. So I woke up to the mountainside behind me just blazing. But I was really blessed to find that there are tons of other people out there in the wilderness, too, that lived out ranches farther out than where I was even settled at in my campsite. And I was we all reveled around each other. And I was the only Christian woman there. It was the strangest thing that the old commune over here, all their people, and they're, what I'm talking about.
Mm-hmm.
They actually sat and prayed. I got to pray with them. I don't think those people had ever said a prayer in their whole life or ever asked God for anything. They just don't know who Jesus Christ was.
Right.
And they grabbed a hold of me and God, and we prayed and stuck out there until it was time to all of us got close again and we all went up. But I do believe that they, now they know Jesus Christ.
Amen.
And a few of them did lose their homes. A few of them lost their ranches out there.
Mm-hmm.
And by the time they took off and were able to go to see their homes, they weren't so badly beaten up because they had found God.
Praise God.
And I'm glad for that.
Amen.
Praise God for that.
Amen. Amen. And I think that's so important that we see those opportunities, how God will not waste tragedy and will accomplish amazing things. There were some other, yes, let me get back here. Go ahead. Give us your name and then share how you saw God working.
Jacob, and what I noticed is that God actually gave the power and the strength to the firefighters.
Amen.
So that they can have the strength to fight the fire. And when we came home, everything was fine. There was no more smoke. But nothing was burned down. So I was actually surprised because the first day when we had to evacuate, I was really scared. So that was actually a really great thing that God did.
Amen. It sure was. It sure was. Thank you so much for sharing that. You want to go ahead, Wayne, while we're back here?
Yeah. I want to thank God for the firefighters, too, how they saved the places. And we were sitting out there at night, and we'd watch them flames shoot up in the sky, and it was really amazing how them flames just shot up. And it's amazing how God put them firefighters there to just get those flames down. And God spared our home. And our sisters and brothers gathered around us and was there for us. And I want to thank them.
Amen. Amen. And what a great reminder from Jacob, huh? That it was the Lord who gave, equipped, strengthened those firefighters to do what they were able to do for us. Why don't you speak in the microphone?
Yeah, I just want to praise God because the first evacuation was Mayer, and then here, you know, my son lives in Mayer, and they had to evacuate out to our place, and then second evacuation was Poland, and my daughter's family lives out there, and I mean, I just heard, you know, they closed Highway 69, and all you could do, because the fire people didn't want to tell anybody anything because they didn't want to spread any panic, so we're just all sitting there with no real knowledge of the fire. And so we were praying about their homes and everything. And so when they finally, after, you know, 3 days, let, you know, open Highway 69, they let Mayer people go home, and then they finally let Poland people go home. I mean, it was amazing to me to see Mayer.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, we didn't know what was going on, but it was just hardly untouched. So it was just a praise to God that the Mayer homes were saved, that Mayer was green. I said, Mayer's still the same.
Yeah.
And then, you know, I drove through Poland and the devastation on that side of the highway, but the homes on the other side of the highway were just barely touched.
Truly amazing.
So praise God.
Amen. Amen. I'm going to let more people share. We will definitely do that. Let's take a moment and praise God for his faithfulness. Hymn 86, Great is Thy Faithfulness. something about an event like the Goodwin Fire that causes me to consider this hymn differently. That third verse, pardon for sin and a peace that endureth, thine own dear presence to cheer and to guide, strength for today and bright hope for tomorrow, blessings all mine with 10,000 beside. Let me read another psalm before we share some more. Psalm 91. Psalm 91. Someone who's using a Pew Bible, if you could give me the page.
497.
Thank you. 497. Psalm 91. He who dwells in the shelter of the Most High will abide in the shadow of the Almighty. I will say to the Lord, my refuge and my fortress, my God in whom I trust. For he will deliver you from the snare of the fowler and from the deadly pestilence. He will cover you with his pinions, and under his wings you will find refuge. His faithfulness is a shield and a buckler. You will not fear the terror of the night, nor the arrow that flies by day, nor the pestilence that stalks in darkness, nor the destruction that wastes at noonday. 1,000 may fall at your side, 10,000 at your right hand, but it will not come near you. You will only look with your eyes and see the recompense of the wicked. Because you have made the Lord your dwelling place, the Most High who is my refuge, no evil shall be allowed to befall you. No plague come near your tent. For he will command his angels concerning you to guard you in all ways. On their hands they will bear you up, lest you strike your foot against a stone. You will tread on the lion and the adder, the young lion and the serpent you will trample underfoot. Because he holds fast to me in love, I will deliver him. I will protect him because he knows my name. When he calls to me, I will answer him. I will be with him in trouble. I will rescue him and honor him. With long life, I will satisfy him and show him my salvation. Let's pray. Father, we are thankful that you have kept us from destruction. Yet we do know that there are friends, family, neighbors who have lost property because of this fire. And so what we ask, Lord God, is that you would be a comfort and a permanent presence, a tangible presence to them, and that we may be your hands and feet to serve them and to demonstrate, to show the love of Christ in a tangible way. We ask that this would not be an opportunity to serve that we would allow to pass, but that we would see this as an opportunity for us to recognize the blessings that you have poured out on us, that we may be able to bless others, that we may be able to serve others, that we may be able to get outside of ourselves, look outside of ourselves, and see what a privilege we have to be sons and daughters of the King, and that by demonstrating his love to others, that we can open up conversations, that we would pray by your Spirit you would use to draw people to a saving faith in Christ. And we just pray it in Jesus' name. Amen. Other stories of how God has worked. Goodness gracious. You would think that God's been working. Pass it to Kevin when you're done.
I just want to say I was blessed. We were in Spring Valley, so we didn't have to be evacuated. But I was on the phone a lot trying to complete projects in Phoenix. And yeah, it was really scary. But I want to thank God, though, that there was no, has been no loss of life.
Amen.
This fire, as far as we know, because I know being part of the fire district community, since I do their audits, I know that it's been the time of remembrance of the 19 firefighters that were killed on June 30th, 2013. So I'm grateful that there was no loss of life.
Amen. Amen. Praise God.
I'd like to praise God as well. I think these verse 3 says that, for he will deliver you from the snare of the fowler. Now, during this crisis, God is all around, but you know who else is all around? And he got wicked people to walk around and try to loot houses. And I want to praise God for the sheriff's departments who went around neighborhood by neighborhood, keeping that from happening. and how great God really does work to counteract that evil one down below.
Praise God. Thank you. Thank you, Barney. We'll come back. Absolutely.
Well, Tuesday morning, I had a doctor's appointment, and I come home to find Michelle running around gathering things up, you know, she informed me that we were under pre-evacuation notice. Our first concern was our kids, so we called our daughter and made arrangements to meet us in Anthem, so I took the kids down, dropped them off, and came back to find that we were under mandatory evacuation notice. So we loaded up our things and stayed as long as we could and headed down to the valley to stay at our daughter's house. But as I think back on it, I realize that through the whole thing, I had a real sense of peace about it. Even knowing that whether we were going to be able to come home to our house or not, whether it was going to be here, I had this sense of peace, just knowing that God is always there.
Amen. Amen. Amen.
You know, and He cares, and He, I knew that ultimately it was all going to be for good.
Amen. Thank you. Thank you. I'll get you while you're here, Margie. That way I don't have to run back and forth. We're coming over here, guys.
If in the course of these events, those of us who were directly impacted by the shock of what we were seeing became, in some senses, numb, and I want to praise God for lifting up all the prayers from all the people, and this was all over the country, because mm-hmm. I talked with Marlon. She knew a great many people back east that were praying for us and our families back in the east. And I just want to thank God for raising up people to pray for those of us who were numbed and needed that
Amen.
Prayer.
Amen. Amen. Absolutely. I'll come back to you. Absolutely. We've got Kathy, then Ann, then Michael.
Well, I too was in Spring Valley. So our perspective of the fire was completely different than what you folks had to go through. And I praise God that we were spared that.
Mm-hmm.
But our experiences, I think, were traumatic in a different way. I know mine was, because everybody I know and love pretty much lives in Mayer.
Yeah.
And in Cordis, too. But there was such a feeling of not knowing.
Mm.
And not being, you know, a lot of my phone service didn't work a lot of the time.
Right.
But what happened for me is, I forget which day it was. I think it might have been Tuesday or Wednesday. But I'm sitting in my apartment, and we're just kind of like trying to keep up with the information. And the electricity went off.
Mm.
And it was still during the day. And that kind of made me nervous,
mm-hmm.
honestly.
Mm-hmm.
So I went out, and that tends to draw people out of their apartments.
Yeah.
So there were like groups of tenants standing around. And at that point, we could look over and see the flames.
Mm.
And everybody was just like at such a loss. And I'm just thinking out loud, and I said, thank you, God. This is such a lesson for me. Because when I'm sitting in my apartment thinking I'm all that in a bag of chips, and in an instant, you can just change everything.
Isn't that the truth?
I mean, how complacent, how much we take for granted. And so, and the other thing I wanted to say was, one of the most beautiful things I saw were those firemen rescuing those two deer, the baby fawns. I just thought, we are at our best when things are at their worst.
Isn't that something?
It's just really strange.
So thank you.
God bless that you're all safe and undamaged.
Go ahead, Ann. Go ahead, Ann.
I just want to thank all the deacons who were involved in his or her own way. And it really was great, not only for the deacon doing stepping up, but all of the church people. Because it was great to see how many people were willing to open up their homes if needed, and how many did open up their homes. And I just want to thank all of you for doing that. The other thing is I had texted Chris Schule, who is our German son here.
Yeah.
He belonged to all of us. And I had texted him, and he was in class. And by the time he called me later, he had let his mother know, and she's a part of a women's Bible study, so they've been praying for us. So I wanted to pass that on. The other thing was, on Facebook, I saw Chicago, one of the news stations in Chicago, was live streaming the fire. And so I'm seeing every few seconds people saying, praying, praying, praying. Forget prayers, send fire personnel. Praying, praying. And so I put a note in to thank all of them for their prayers.
Amen.
So thank you.
That's good. Thank you so much. Michael. And I want to say something as I'm giving this to Michael Kayward. That yesterday when the Salvation Army was here Friday and Saturday serving meals and passing out water here in our church parking lot and around the community. And I just want to thank Mike Howard. He was here busting his tail from 8 o'clock in the morning until 7 o'clock last night helping us. And so, Michael, thank you, brother. Appreciate it so much. Go ahead, Mike.
Just to add to that, there's a few of us, including Mike and Pastor Dan and Rick, Barney and Kevin, and a few of us men that get together. There's one person that called me that day, and when I think of all those guys and I think of one of the ones that sit around and check on people, and he'll call me. He'll even call me when I need to pray or sit and talk with him. And he reminds me that God works in your heart in every way that you would not imagine. And that day he did call me, and it was Glenn.
Yeah.
Glenn will always take time and say, Michael, you okay?
Yeah.
And I say thank you to Glenn.
Amen. Praise God. Thanks. Can you give that to Lynn?
I don't know if you guys know it or not, but every year all the emergency services in Yavapai County do a drill so that they're ready for something like this. And they had a drill a few months ago, and everybody participated. They were saying it was a mock fire. They actually set a fire so they know that it, you know, what to work with the fire. And at the meeting the other night, the big meeting, the incident commander was saying that he was really, really happy with how all the emergency agencies were working so well together, and that we should be a model across the United States.
Amen. Praise God.
And didn't he also say that there are three large air tankers in the U.S., and we had all three?
We had all three.
Wow. And that's
the very large air tankers, we had all three. Praise God. Yes. We'll go Karen and then Kim, and then we're going to sing another hymn.
Good morning, everyone. I was blessed to be a host of a couple and their cat. And as God will have it, I had just grocery shopped. So for 2 days, we just kind of hung out and ate, and we ate really good food. And my cat was a little unhappy, but she adjusted, you know.
Well, Rocky is special.
And it was Mike and Sharon Reagan and their cat Juno that stayed with us. And, you know, we just got to know one another, and we felt like family. It was like they were our brother and sister, not somebody staying with us.
Praise God.
And it was just very fortunate, or I feel very fortunate to have their friendship.
Amen. Amen. Could you give that to Kim?
Well, we, living in Prescott, was very odd, because had we not known what was going on, we wouldn't have known it, because we didn't even have a smoke over there. So one of the things it reminded me of was the fact that people actually very close to us can be going through very, very hard times that we would never know unless the Lord lets us know.
Great lesson.
So, great lesson there is just to remember it could even be someone next door And yet, in some ways, they're 50 miles, 30 miles away because you don't know what's going on there. So that was one lesson. And just trusting the Lord for what was going on here. 30 miles doesn't sound that far, but our lives were going on, knowing that your lives were totally disrupted here, mm-hmm. which was another very interesting situation. I do have some other unsung heroes that y'all probably don't know about or don't really realize. I went to do laundry at a laundromat in Prescott. That laundromat does all the cleaning of clothes for those 500 firefighters. Mm. They do that. And I don't know what kind of a contract or whatever they had worked out, but that's something that this laundromat does, which was, you don't think about, these guys needed clothes, you know, and how that all works. And then one of our district managers had ordered a bunch of 40 pallets of water, bottled water brought in. They were turned away because so many people and companies had donated water already. Mm. So now we have 40 extra pallets of water, but that part was taken care of. Those little things that people need were just taken care of. And then again with the Salvation Army, feeding the firefighters, feeding the people here for 2 days. God was just very merciful.
Amen. 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 Yes, Joyce.
Just a couple of things. A first was the fact that my church family was so concerned. I probably won't get through this without crying. All the phone calls and just wanting to know if we're okay. You know, and anything we can do, and so on. So I really appreciate my church family. The other thing is the firefighters. My son is one. He was not here. He started this many years ago. He's now an incident commander, so he's the one that gets to decide where the slurry's dropped and where the dozers go and all of that on these huge fires. So I always think of him whenever we're in a situation like this. But I wanted to let you know that if you wanted to express your appreciation to the firemen, Brenda McMahon has a home right behind the dollar store, across Central, right behind the dollar store. And they have opened up their fence. And you can put signs out there, or there is one sign there that you can sign if you just want to say thank you. So.
Great.
I thought I'd let you know that's available for those Thanks. Firefighters because they're very precious.
Absolutely. Y'all know where that house is. They've got the chain link fence right there as you're going around the curve up from the Circle K on the left-hand side. Okay? So let's... Okay, well... No.
No more sharing. Okay. So I just wanted to share about how we saw God working here. We went to Prescott, as Dan said, on Wednesday, and got there about 2. We were staying with a friend of ours who is the head of Moms in Prayer for the state of Arizona. She has a house and was putting us up, which was just wonderful. And so we spent time in the evacuation shelter on Wednesday, several hours, and then we went over Thursday and spent quite a number of hours there, just talking with people who had been evacuated, and you know, you're just sitting there at the school wondering what's going on. But I got to see God really creating community there. There was a particular trailer park in Dewey that had been evacuated, and 3 women from that park were in the evacuation shelter, and they knew one another, you know, visually, but they really didn't know one another. So they got to know each other. Because of the evacuation, we were able to do a study in the Book of Ruth together. And all 3 of them are Christians, and they got to know each other through this study and through talking about how God redeems us from difficult situations and how he protects us even though we're far away from home. And it was just a great situation to see what God can do in the middle of a difficult time. The agencies that work together to provide help in the evacuation center and all the churches that work together from the Prescott area were just wonderful. They were wonderful. Then when we got home, so we got home Thursday night at 11. And we woke up Friday and unpacked our suitcases. And then the Salvation Army showed up. And we didn't know they were coming. And they said, hi, we're here to provide meals today and tomorrow. So maybe you can let people know what's going on. So we spent Friday and Saturday letting people know that meals were being provided. And they were such wonderful people. The Salvation Army commanders and chefs and all the lieutenants and all the people who were involved. It was just great. It was wonderful having them here, a Christian presence.
Can I just say that we had actually three canteen groups represented. The Las Vegas canteen was here with a guy who had been a commander in the Salvation Army in Las Vegas but had moved to Flagstaff. Rather than bringing the Flagstaff canteen, he had never been able to use the Las Vegas one, and so he used that. So we had Las Vegas, Nevada, we had Flagstaff, and then yesterday we had the folks from Tucson. And so there were folks from, you know, a 10-hour spread there all serving this community. And they were fantastic folks.
Yeah, they really were. So we got to meet a lot of people who we don't know in this community, but now we know. We also saw, in the Chimney Ranch community, saw people forming community as well, because we picked up several people who came up and ate meals and then visited with each other and got to know each other. There are many new residents down there, so they don't necessarily know one another very well. So that was a great thing as well. One little girl said she'd like to come to Sunday school, so maybe she will someday, right? I also wanted to let you know that the Salvation Army provided 200 cases of water yesterday. A semi-truck drove up with four pallets of water on it, and they said, where would you like this water? Should we put it all on your patio? And we said, oh, no. So I had the privilege of trying to figure out where to put it in town. They wanted it to be available outside for people just to come and be able to take. So we did have a pallet of water here that disappeared yesterday. People came and took it. Is there some back?
There is some back because...
I think they left the Salvation Army.
No, Joe brought some back.
Oh, brought some back. Okay.
Yeah.
So the Southern Baptist Church got some. I got to lead the semi-trailer. We dropped a pallet at the Southern Baptist Church down the street, one at Meals on Wheels, and one at the library. And I went to the fire department on Mayor, the little fire station in Mayor on Wicks, to ask if they would like us to drop water there. And they said no. And I was trying to figure out how we were going to get the water unloaded at Meals on Wheels and the library and put where they wanted to have it. It was Julius and Shane Rummage came to help. And the ag teacher at the high school called and got two FFA students to help as well. But the firefighters at the Mayor Fire Station unloaded that water. They went over, you know, here they are, they're fighting a fire. There was a crew there from Missoula, Montana. They unloaded water at the library and at Meals on Wheels. Isn't that great that in the middle of all of this, they would continue to serve? I just thought that was great. Then the Red Cross was stationed down yesterday at Circle K, and they were giving out cleaning supplies and, you know, I don't know what they were giving out because I didn't take it all, but... they asked me if I knew if I could find out where to take diapers and cleaning supplies. So I touched base with the director of Meals on Wheels, Christy Lambertus, and she said she would take the cleaning supplies. So I put the diapers in the van thinking, okay, well, I'm just going to find somebody who needs diapers. And when I went to Chimney Ranch, there was a woman walking toward me with a stroller with two little kids in it. So I talked to her about the diapers and found out that she is a person who's very lonely and would love to be part of our MOPS group. Okay? So isn't that cool? And then before I left, I was talking, I felt like I needed to give my card to a woman at the Red Cross, one of the volunteers, and I said to her that they were asking about our church here and about village missions and how we came to serve, etc. So I gave her my card and said, if you know anyone who is interested in pastoral ministry, Village Missions has lots of openings for pastors in small rural communities. And she said, my son is finishing his master's in theology in Dallas, Texas, and he doesn't want to live in a big town and minister. So I will have him contact Village Missions. So who knows? Maybe we got another pastor for a town through this. You never know. So God worked in so many amazing ways. Those are just a few of the stories that I wanted to share.
Thanks. Great. Turn to number 416.
I need thee every hour, most gracious Lord. No tender voice like thine can please. Would you turn with me in your Bibles to Matthew chapter 6? Matthew chapter 6, we're going to start at verse 19. Kevin, what page is that? 811? 811 in your pew Bibles, or church Bibles, or chair Bibles, or whatever they're called. So I don't know about you, but when we got the call, we had a friend who was staying down at the house, watching the cats for us, watching the house. And when we were being evacuated, the first question that was asked is, what do you want us to take? The cats. Okay. Our photo albums. Two tubs of memorabilia from our kids in school. The family Bible. You know, those were the things.
Pictures.
You know, those were the things that, you know, you start thinking about your furniture and your TV and your Blu-ray player.
Joyce ran back to get my cello.
Joyce did get the cello with the fire. I had to ask the sheriff to get in. You know. So, listen to this. Read along with me. Just follow along. Do not lay up for yourselves treasures on earth, where moth and rust destroy and where thieves break in and steal, but lay up for yourself treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust destroys and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. First thing I want to say, folks, is this. I don't have a title for this devotional. This isn't a sermon so much, but If I had a title, it would be "Don't Waste This Fire." There's nothing like an event like this that causes us to realize and maybe reevaluate what is truly important. We tend to work, and we work very hard for things, and there's nothing wrong with things, but things are stuff. Peter says they're going to burn up. I don't think he was talking about the Goodwin fire, but it's all going to pass, right? What is it that's important? It's family, it's relationships. It's the thing that Karen Trevelyan was talking about her and Drew and Sharon and Mike just being able to be like family together. This is an opportunity for us to have a heart check individually. Where is our treasure? What is it that we value? What do we spend our time thinking about? What do we spend our time talking about? What do we spend our time concerned about? What do we spend our money on? It's a wake-up call, guys. Let's not waste it. Let's move down to verse 25. Jesus tells you, therefore I tell you, do not be anxious about your life, what you will eat, what you will drink, or about your body, what you will put on. Is not life more than food and the body more than clothing? We know that. We get reminded of that with events like this, don't we? Look at the birds of the air. They neither sow nor reap nor gather into barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not of more value than they? And this is an excellent question that Jesus asked. Which of you, by being anxious, could add a single hour to his span of life? Let's expand the question. Which of us, by being anxious, can do jack squat? Nothing. Nothing. And why are you anxious about clothing? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They neither toil nor spin, and yet I tell you, even Solomon in all his glory wasn't arrayed like one of these. And here's the point. If God cares about the weeds, don't you think he loves and cares about you even more? If God so clothes the grass of the field, which today is alive and tomorrow is thrown into the oven, and we know what that's like, will he not much more clothe you, O you of little faith? Therefore, do not be anxious, saying, what shall we eat, what shall we drink, what shall we wear? The Gentiles seek after all these things. Your heavenly Father knows you need them all. But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. There were lessons that I learned, and that I hope we all learn as a church from this fire. One of the things that you have heard me say time and time again is that there is no example in Scripture of Christianity being lived alone, isolated. We need one another. If you tend to be a self-reliant person, can I say this with all love and care as your shepherd? Get over yourself. Now, stop it. Stop it. We were meant to be together. We were meant to encourage one another. The stories that you heard shared were almost universally stories of one person coming alongside of another. And so often it was right inside of this body. Stop it. Because you think it's self-reliance, it's just pride. We need to get over ourselves. The other thing, we talk about the busyness of life. And we are. And, you know, you look around this room and many of us are in different phases of life, different seasons of life. But when you take a look at the time and where you spend it, what's it going to? Does it have an eternal perspective? Are you investing in what will always last? Are you laying up treasures in heaven? Are you seeking first the kingdom of God and his righteousness and then trusting that God will add all the rest of this because he loves us more than the weeds and the sparrows? When we met as the men yesterday to pray, I have to confess to you, because I confessed to the guys, I was disappointed. There were four of us there praying. Now, I understand, number one, it's a holiday weekend and there are a number of people who are gone out of town with family. Perfectly understandable, right? I also know that you've been dragged around from here to Kingdom Come for the last two or three days and some people just want to stay home. You know, all of those are legitimate. But if there should be a time when we should be crying out to God, shouldn't it be now? Hasn't God shown us all the truths that we know as Christians that we repeat over and over and over to one another that just become so much little Christian hallmark sayings? Your life is but a mist. Anyone doubting that now? You know? So, he's given us an opportunity to cry to him. I had something that I prayed about yesterday morning, and you guys know I think in pictures. And so I'm thinking of this fire, and I'm thinking of it spreading, and I'm thinking, wouldn't it be wonderful if what spread instead of a destructive fire was a gospel revival? Wouldn't it be wonderful if what would happen is that the people beginning at Mayor Community Church would wake up and say, I'm not going to worry about putting on a show anymore. I'm not going to worry about coming to church and acting like everything's okay when it's not. And I'm going to realize that this is a safe place for people who are struggling. And we all have the same Savior. We're all working on the same path. And God is growing us all into Christ's likeness. And it's okay for us to be honest. As a matter of fact, it's best for us to be honest so that we can grow together. And as we begin to get honest about that other people see that kind of honesty. And it takes
It just takes root and begins to spread like wildfire. Every revival that I've known about, that I've read about, has been evidenced by three things. One, true repentance and brokenness over sin. Personal and corporate. Two, prayer. And three, the sufficiency of the Word of God. All three of those things are present in every revival that I have ever been a part of, that I've ever heard of. And I would love to see God. We have no idea what God's up to, right? Soon as we say, here's what God was doing, he kind of goes, yeah, right. 10,000, 100,000 things we don't even know. But I know that one thing that he's done with me is to wake up. We don't have another breath guaranteed to us, guys. All the stuff that we focus on that becomes so important to us can be gone in a half a heartbeat. We've seen that. But what's important? Where I saw tears shed this morning was not over the fear of their Xbox being burned. It was over friends and church family calling and caring. So as we move into a time of communion this morning, can we really take some time in the private, secret place of our hearts just to confess our own sins to the Lord and repent of this superficial religiosity that we've had and say, Lord, wake me up. Captivate me with Jesus. Make your gospel, your kingdom, what I want to live for. Can we do that and then be reminded as we take this meal together of what a great message that we have as the church? Let's do that. Trish, if you would just play in the background for us while we just take some time in the quiet of this moment, just a time of confession, repentance, seeking God's grace and mercy. In this meal, the Lord graciously gives us an opportunity, let me put it this way, to look around. First place that we do is we look back. We look back at what Jesus has done. We think of a broken, sinful humanity that was rebelling against a holy and righteous God with no hope, not seeking after God, running straight forward into hell. And the Son of God takes on flesh, lives the life that we should have lived, dies the death that we deserved, absorbing the wrath and the punishment, all because of the love that God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit have for us. This meal also allows us to look forward. We proclaim Jesus' death until he comes again. When we see the fallenness of creation, we see the destruction of fire, when we see the loss of life, when we see the evil of looting, when we think of the agony of the firefighters and what was it now, 4 years ago, just Friday, of 19 of them dying to save life and property, we cry out, how long? Come, Lord Jesus. When we see the sin in our own heart, we cry, come, Lord Jesus. When we think of the kingdom that he has promised us, we say, come, Lord Jesus. The communion also allows us to look inward. It's an opportunity that we've already taken, as Paul said, to examine ourselves, to confess, to repent, to say, Lord God, if revival is going to begin in this big bug area, let it begin with me. Draw a circle around me and let it begin right here. I'll leave it into your sovereign hands as what you do in others' lives. Lord, let it begin in me. And then it allows us to look out. And today, I'm not just talking about looking outside of this church. I'm talking about looking at one another as brothers and sisters in Jesus Christ. This is a meal for us as we celebrate God's grace and we recognize that we are family. We stand together because of the grace of Jesus Christ. Loving one another, accepting one another, forgiving one another, serving one another, and then together being equipped to do the same to the lost and the hurting and the dying. If you are a follower of Jesus Christ, this meal is for you. If you're not, let the elements pass and consider your relationship with Jesus. But let me pray right now, and then Glenn, do you have someone else that's helping you with the meal? I'll have the men come forward after I pray. Father, I just ask that this time would be a glorious reminder of your grace in our lives, the forgiveness that ours is ours in Christ, and the hope to which we have been called. Make it real as we taste and feel and smell this meal. For we celebrate a historical event, a historical person, a real person, the Lord Jesus Christ. We love you and we pray it in his name. Amen. In the night in which Jesus was betrayed, he took the bread, and when he broke it, he gave it to his disciples, and he said, "This is my body given for you. Take and eat." And he also shared with them the blood of the cup of the blood of the new covenant, a cup that the people of Israel had been waiting for and now fulfilled in Jesus. Take and drink. I'm going to have Trish play while we pray, take our offering. If you'll just wait a moment, we'll take the offering and we'll close with the benediction. In the meantime, what I'd like you to do, if you haven't given us a record of your attendance, we'd love you to do that. And also fill out any prayer cards at this point. You can drop them in the offering. If you don't get it filled out before the offering bag comes back, just give me the card afterwards and I'll make sure it gets typed up. Okay? Men, go ahead and come forward for the offering. Stand for the doxology and remain standing for the benediction, please. So I don't want anyone to leave today until they know that they have done business with the Lord. If you don't know where you stand with Jesus, don't leave today. Come up here. I'm going to stay right here by this prayer rail. This is also open for anyone who would like to just do business with the Lord in another way. Maybe confess, maybe ask that they would be renewed in their life and following of Jesus. Maybe just a special time of thanking him for all that's been done, all that he has done for us just in this last week. Please keep all the surrounding communities, all the emergency responders in prayer. Please do that. We are not out of danger yet, and we want every one of those men and women who are working to fight this fire to go home to their families safely. And I just wanted to tell you guys, I love you, and we are so grateful to have this church family and to be back with you, and that tomorrow, which will be our fifth-year anniversary in Mayer, that the building will still be standing. Praise God. Receive the benediction, please. And now to him who is able to keep you from stumbling and to present you blameless before the presence of his glory with great joy. To the only God, our Savior, through Jesus Christ our Lord, be glory, majesty, dominion, and authority before all time and now and forever. And God's people said, amen. Amen. Praise God.